things in the gross. Oh, look at Gina. She's smart.
Bad songwriting. One day, I was smoking strange. When I met a penguin, goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and upload it to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he sure talks fast. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Deranged Penguin Podcast. We're recording live. So in the background, you might hear a douchebag playing a giant harp. I don't know what this is for. They decided to make it happen. And the music doesn't sound bad. And I'm stealing Gina's line as we're walking back from getting some food and getting some tacos. The music doesn't sound bad, but for the guy looking like a douche playing the giant harp. But I feel, and I just told Del this, I feel like there's no other way to be if you're playing a giant harp. Because, number one, why the fuck are you playing a giant harp, you know?
Yeah,
centuries of musicianship, they kind of got the harp down to a manageable size. Like, here's where it looks good, sounds good, is portable enough. And yet, this guy's like, no, let's string up a harp to the building. I'll play that. An electric harp. You get on the electric violin, and we're going to jam out for these randos right here for this corporate event.
I will say harpists make a lot of money, though.
Good for them, because they probably need it for all the lifting equipment that they have.
Yeah, you got to get a crane and shit, you know?
Yeah, to tote around your stupid harp.
I think it's
just, like, got to be some guy who's just so deprived of attention as a child.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? I'll pick up the guitar, and that'll get the girls. And then some other guy was playing the guitar. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to play. Where's the bass, the giant walk? He's like, and then some other guy was jamming out, and now he's like, fuck. What can I get that is big as fuck, and everybody will see me? And there it was, the giant harp on the building. Good job, guy.
I need an instrument so big that I need a special automobile to carry it around.
Yeah.
What a douche.
Yeah, it's like the 800-pound dude and the harpist. They need the same crane. That's what's keeping the giant cranes in business.
William Howard Taft and the harpist.
And the harpist guy. So yeah, this is Deranged Penguin Podcast, and this is kind of is like a guerrilla podcast where we're just like, all right, guys, let's go. No, what's the other one? The one where they just pop up out of anywhere, Del, and dance? What's that called?
Flash Mob?
There you go. It's like Flash Mob, Flash Podcast right now.
That's what we do.
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now. So let's get into it. Hey, guess what? Donald Trump and the Republican Party fell flat on their faces. That's this week in the end of Western civilization, the final end of Western civilization bill, or at least the first one, failed because Paul Ryan is not a good politician.
There's hope.
Mm-hmm.
Not so good at governing.
No. What is funny is like a couple of their quotes out of the thing kind of made me mad and made me laugh at the same time. I forget which lawmaker down, did you see this, where they're like, saying basically, yeah, we've been saying no for 8-10 years, and it's real easy to say no. Now it's hard to do things, so we got to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what? I almost just, I just wanted to climb on the giant harp and jump off to my death because I was like, what the fuck?
Well, that's the thing. And that's a good point, because a lot of the Republican Party has only been unified in that they were against the Democratic Party. You know, they're unifying their no. Now that they have the opportunity to do something, we see how fractured the party actually is.
Yeah, and I think, if you were any kind of sensible, you knew this already. Like, it's easy to win a war, right, to be the revolutionaries. It's hard to run the government. And that's been the case for every, And, I have some conservative leanings, and my biggest problem with the conservative party, the Republican party.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah, totally.
Really?
I got my bow ties right here. My biggest problem was that, like, they're not doing it. They're just saying no. They're being unreasonable. Or, like, there was a couple other things in, I was reading today. I was laughing all this up, all the postmortems of this thing. What they were saying that they cast protest votes. A couple of the Republican guys, you know, like, Obama vetoed the Obamacare repeal before. And a couple of them voted, you know, for the repeal because they knew he was going to veto it. It was just a show. Right. So now when it came time to, they're like, oh, but it's actually people like it. Like, no, yeah. Dude, yes, just get out there and govern, man. Do your job. Anyway, so that's our mini rant of the day. Let's get into
the big rant of the day.
Yeah, the big rant. TI 108, the greatest calculator ever or the greatest calculator in the last 4 months? I don't know. I didn't have a joke there. Sorry about that.
Last 100 years.
Yeah, 100 years. I fucked it up. God. I fucked it up like Paul Ryan. So this is just a post we saw. I used the TI 108 when I was in Stuhl. Welcome, Gina. Welcome to the show.
Can y'all hear that rain?
Did we hear the what?
It is pouring about as hard as I've ever heard it pour.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It does sound real loud.
Speaking of pouring, Denton, Texas.
Yeah, whoa. I got hammered.
Whoa.
Hold on. Dell's reporting live from the hurricane.
This is the weather that Den was
jaws
getting.
Of the whale.
But it was hail in Denton. Now it's just rain. It's just water.
Yeah, welcome to the show, Gina.
Thank you.
So what we were saying, we were mentioning this TI 108. Did anybody ever have one? And was it not the coolest thing ever in the history?
I don't know if I had one of those.
I mean, I didn't own one explicitly, like... I probably had one. I mean, there was probably one hanging around.
Okay. So I saw this, and it's great. I don't know. It is everything you said about it, namely that you want to play with it, you want to touch it, it looks cool, it's bright, and it's fun. You know, it's true.
I just have to breathe into my...
Sorry, Dale was drowning everybody out with his rain broadcast. I liked it, and I'm looking at it now, and I wanted to calculate. No, this
you
is
want to calculate.
Yeah,
you just want to push buttons. That's what I didn't. That's the thing. That's where he lost me. Is like, he just picks it up and starts crunching numbers randomly. Like,
what I've you've never done that? What?
It makes me want to solve math problems from the 80s.
Yeah. Did you have this calculator in school?
Maybe my sister had it. I'm not sure if I did.
Your sister old.
Yeah.
Old ass sister.
It made me nostalgic for my TI 89.
Mm-hmm. You had an 89?
I don't know. I had one.
Fancy, man. I had 82.
Yeah.
I had Bug Wars on that thing. Fantastic.
I had the top of the line one. Played Snake. Spoiled. The hell out of Snake on it.
Everybody played Drug Wars. Like, nobody, I don't even remember. I remember more Drug Wars than I do Calculus. Yeah?
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, that's just a throwaway thing. I mean, nobody, I guess, you know, if you don't like it, you don't like it. Is there a calculator? Is there something that you wish you could have back and use? Like, I use a calculator significantly less than I thought I would. A lot of that is because of the phone. The phone is everything.
You use the phone calculator.
Yeah, occasionally.
It's the same thing.
Well, I'm thinking, I use the phone calculator sometimes, I think... In cases where otherwise I would just use mental math, I'd be pretty good at mental math maybe, or I'd use a scratch piece of paper. And now I'm just like, let me just, you know, quickly calculate it because it saves time.
Google is a calculator too.
Yeah, there's so many things that are replacing the need.
Mm-hmm.
Just a search bar?
Yeah. You just put 4 + 4 and it'll give you an answer.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You can probably put derivative of some number and it'll give that to you too.
Yeah. Think about all the time you spent learning stuff, and now there's things that do it for you. I was right, teacher.
Yeah.
So I'll just look it up. I'm not going to need this. God. Why was I learning?
You're definitely right.
Why were we learning? Okay, so what about you, Gina? Do you calculate anything?
Now?
Yeah.
Occasionally.
Is there anything that you, like, from school that you wish you, like a protractor? Protractors are fun You don't need them.
Yeah, I always wanted to use it, and we never had to.
Yeah, so lame.
Most of the time when we bought colored pencils for school, we never used those either.
Yeah, same. Yeah, like, they made a fact, like, you didn't bring your colored pencils in? I'm like, no, dang. I'm going to suck at, they call them map pencils? I'm like, yeah. I'm going to suck at mapping or
geography. I'm going to draw a map.
And we never got there. We never used
them. I'm not going to become a cartographer.
And I didn't because, like, now I'd need a computer. Nobody draws maps by hand anymore. It's not 1785. Turns
people don't
out.
Even know how to look at a map, let alone draw a map.
No, people think. Well, people got so good at looking at maps that they think the world is flat now. So that's another problem we have.
There's a dude in Denton actually that is like a huge flat Earth like proponent,
why?
Like supporter.
Like he's
there's
well,
an article.
He's well known for, about this.
There's just a big article about him in the Denton Record Chronicle or the UNT paper.
So what's wrong with that?
Like, I don't know what to say about that other than why, like, you know, like, why is anybody spending time asking the flat Earth guy why he thinks anything, you know?
I know,
like,
dude.
Did you know the Earth is flat? It's like, well, let me move on to another person.
Right. Got to start going to a different coffee shop.
Yeah.
I'm not going to come back here.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. But, like, I sort of feel like it's a little bit of celebrities having fun with people.
I think that, yeah, I think that's
like
I hope
I heard, and it started with Kyrie Irving about a month ago in an interview, and I don't remember exactly how it came up, but he was like, "Yeah, the Earth is flat." And Richard Jefferson, his teammate, was sitting next to him, and he's like, "Whoa, what?" And both of them are supposedly smart guys. Kyrie was like, "Whoa, I went to Duke," which I mean,
he went there for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, and for that 5 minutes, you weren't even passing. So I mean, yeah, you got. It's like walking into ITT Tech. Like, you walked in the front door, but I don't know if that really means a whole lot, you know?
Yeah.
I
don't know. I've known people that graduated college that are dumb, so that isn't really...
Last week, I heard Shaq tweet out, yeah, the Earth is totally flat. And to me, that's like... I mean, like, Kyrie, maybe. Maybe he believes that. Like, Shaq, I think it's just hopping on the bandwagon, like, having fun with people. There's no way...
Yeah, I mean, I think they're just being silly because they're like, yeah, of course. Not. I don't know. I'm hoping so. And also, I don't pay attention to them for their, you know, views on
their intellect.
Earth. Yeah, I play basketball, man.
How did believing a scientific principle become like a trend? Like, that's a trend. It's a trendy thing to think the Earth is flat. To you know, like Kabbalah, like. You know, it's like the next thing. It's like the same thing. It's like trendy to be like Kabbalah Jewish. Now it's trendy to like believe the Earth is flat.
Yeah, it just needs to come with its own jewelry.
It's insane, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like people are just because you can get your own facts now because you can kind of be siloed and stuff. I think it's kind of that way. You know, there's no.
So are you saying that's new?
Well, it's before, like, you kind of had a fear, like, you're dumb. Like, you're like, oh, what if nobody, you know. But now you can find a lot of other people that believe whatever it is that you believe.
Yeah.
And so then you feel a little bit more confident.
Take your stupidity and run with it.
And then there's fun in pushing back against other people. Like, yeah, nobody knows about us underground. So it, like, strengthens a nonconformist opinion.
I suppose.
So is that good and bad? Anyway.
Nonconformist. I hate them.
Yeah. speaking of conformity, I like this thing called, this article called Against Storytelling. It was also on postlight.com, their track changes blog, which is a clever blog title.
How much are they, paying you to publicize your blog?
$0. I'm a nonconformist. I don't get paid for work. So he goes, you should read it. I mean, there's a link to it, in the show notes. But he talks about this, I don't know how to, like, over-marketing, where everything has to have a story. And it reminded me very much of the hotel that it's built here in San Antonio, the fancy Emma Hotel, where everything has a fucking story. You know, it's like, this wood, it reminds you of the, you know, the workers, and, you know, like, the whole thing. And you do, as he concludes, want it to just get out of the way. That's sometimes better than having... a story about the stupid thing, and he compares it with a printer, the Brother printer, which is amazing. He said, I don't know what it looks like. It just works. You know, that's great. It's just a black box. I hit print. It prints. It gets out the hell. It gets the hell out of the way, and I just print out of it. And it's great because I don't notice it. You know, it doesn't need to be unique and bespoke and have a story and et cetera, et cetera. Right. So I really like this. I realize it's kind of like reacting to a lot of other stuff because it used to be things were just generic and they're like, hey, look at this. This is kind of cool. It's a unique thing. But when you take it all the way in one direction of the pendulum, it's refreshing to have it swing back.
Yeah. Well, it's also there's a huge difference in creating in something having a story and creating a story to make something seem meaningful and deep. You know, and that's what's happening in the on the corporate level. I see a lot is like, you know, packaging and stuff that looks like it's deep and meaningful and has, you know, a rich history behind it, but it's really just prefab BS.
Yeah, and it's everything. It's groceries.
Yeah,
it's the tomatoes.
Yeah,
I mean,
I agree.
So that was a way to stand out, and that's what I'm saying is that like it used to be, you know, tomato was a tomato. Like, who cares about tomato? But then to kind of get noticed, like our tomatoes are different because ours have a story. Let's talk to Juan. Like, I make these tomatoes by hand. My family's been on this land for whatever. I mean, yeah, H-E-B does it. So, you know, like, I am the produce department at H-E-B. You know, and you're like, oh, cool. Yeah. Like, tomatoes are helping people as local, whatever. But then I think also the problem there is that Budweiser is doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Big, giant corporate Budweiser, whose beer even Anheuser-Busch hated. You know?
Right.
They're like, you know, look at this immigrant coming across and making his beer. He is America. And by the way, we're owned by a giant conglomerate. You know,
right.
And
the InBev.
Yeah. We have craft beers, and we have we also run advertising that says craft beers are shit and for pansy asses. So,
yeah
I'm not going to buy their story.
Well, and it's so frustrating. Like, I'm not a business person. You know, I'm just not. It nauseates me. Like, all this crap is just ridiculous. So I got a trademark on a design for a shirt for this area. It's Northwest Arkansas. I got these shirts, like, designed, and I trademarked it. And it's like this. I think it's a pretty cool shirt. I'll send y'all one. And so I've got them at one of my brother's store, and he's selling them. You know, and they're popping off the shelf. Like, people are buying them like crazy. So I was like, well, I'm going to go to a couple of local breweries, you know, since they're local breweries and they sell local brews. They might like a shirt that reflects the local mentality.
Okay, yeah.
And I send in, instead of going this past week because I've been working, I send in one of my acquaintances who knows the owner. And the owner's like, yeah, it's a fantastic product. I'd love it. Like, what's the story?
I made a shirt and I like
it's the t-shirt. That's a fucking story. And guy's like, well, yeah, but I mean the you know, like the backstory, you know? Back, so like
I was like, it'd be great if we had a shirt.
What's the name of the guy? What's the name of the company? I wanna find out everything about him. I was like, I don't know that I want to sell you my shirts.
So you're saying the shirts stand on their own.
Yeah.
They don't need
now I'm feeling pressure. But now I'm feeling like market pressure, you know? So I'm like, I guess I gotta come up with
better
a story.
Have a good story.
Yeah. Like, if your story is fucking lame, you know, I'm gonna if it's like Independence Day 2, I'm gonna shit on your shirt. I'm like, God.
Yeah. dude, just don't, though. Just literally. Have like maybe one little vague comment about it and let people develop a mythology around the shirts.
That's actually a really interesting idea. I like that.
God, I could just see 150 years from now when your shirt business is a fucking giant conglomerate. Bradley Park was a humble
trying
pharmacist.
To bring it all back.
And he had an idea. That idea was a shirt for everyone.
It'll be one of those dry erase board commercials.
Oh, yeah. The one where they're drawing.
Yeah.
A shirt.
Rapid drawings.
Fuck you and your shirt, Brad. But, like, wait, tell me, What did you trademark about the shirt? Because I can't imagine a shirt being any different than any other shirt. Does it have like
three no neck holes? No, neck hole.
Trademark the shirt. I trademarked the design.
Okay.
I didn't get a patent. I got a trademark.
No neck hole.
Yeah, I can't tell the difference anymore. Those.
That's right. No neck hole. Keep calling,
just cover your face. See, that's what I thought when you said the design of the shirt. The way it looks, you know.
No, but I mean, this is like big business country, you know. This is like big retail country, and so the first thing I thought was,
let me take it to Walmart.
It's not like.
Does it have a deer on it?
Design, huh?
Does it have a deer on it?
No. I would never wear anything with a deer.
That would sell way faster.
Probably. I am gonna do them in blaze.
Boost
orange,
your sales
For the next hunting season.
Yeah, you need to do that, and then also like camouflage for some reason.
Yeah.
For some reason.
You should do urban camouflage, because then that I would buy that, because it's at least being like, you know, like have just.
What that look
yeah.
like?
Yeah.
But I'm with you on that. I like urban camo better. I hate the Spurs camo jerseys, though.
Yeah, I hate the digital camo. Oh. Yeah, those are gross.
The pixelated camo. Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah,
I want to support the troops, but man, those are just horrid.
Me too. Gina, how do you feel about them?
I don't understand digital camo. I don't know why that's a thing. I know what it is. I don't know why it is.
It's for when you are pixelated.
Okay.
I don't know.
All those times that happens in war when everyone becomes pixelated.
Okay. Yeah, it says the coordinates of the pattern, which are digitally defined, like defined by your digits on your hands. Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, there you go. It's computer designed. That's what it is. Digital camo. Look at that. DrainsPenguin.com. Learning something every day, ladies and gentlemen.
I haven't been into camo since eighth grade when it was cool to wear the black, white, and gray camo.
Yeah.
That's the last time that was cool.
Where does that camouflage you? Like, what part of the world?
Oh, you know. Amongst your friends at the mall. When you want to blend.
Which one of the teenagers is the teenager I'm looking for? They're blending into each other. Gina, do you find yourself choosing a something with the story? Like coffee with the story? Like maybe this Merit coffee?
I don't know. I think it's one of those trends that is moving in this direction and it will swing back the other way. Because I was thinking about, you know, like what if you made cupcakes and then you became a huge company, right? So you had to move into a giant factory and mass produce your cupcakes. It doesn't look anymore the way it did back when you were in your kitchen, and that was part of the thing you know you want people to believe makes your cupcakes good, mm-hmm. is the recipe and how you're making it, and you can't convey that image when you're showing them vats of things and drums of flour. But later everybody's going to get over that, and then they're going to be like, you want to know why we're awesome in our huge factory and why it's better that we're not tiny and local. So it'll go the other way, and then
they'll
make it.
How efficient we are.
Yeah, exactly. I think that'll be next. It'll swing back in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's a good point. You know, advertising used to have the factory, right? Like, the logo was the factory, right? It was like, look where we have the shit. It's fucking clean and amazing. And, you know, because it used to be everybody just made it themselves. And sometimes you get sick from Joe down the street who crafted you a beer, and he also crafted you salmonella. And now you're going to die.
You can't get salmonella from beer.
I know.
Don't spread lies like that. No,
man.
Fake
news.
Joke fact check. Right,
stop you there.
Yeah. But you see my point, right? And so then it was like, look, it's clean, it's modern, you know, it's super cool. Look at our factory. And now we're like, you know what? Where does this pizza come from? And like, well, Brad had an idea. What about pizza with locally sourced ingredients? And that's the only place you go to Brad's Pizza. And, you know, and they tell you a fucking story. And you're like, great. Can I get the pepperoni?
Yeah. And no, I feel like I can connect.
I'm not done. It's the gift wrap joke from Love Actually, right?
Yeah. Are y'all on the restaurant, like the food from the locally sourced with the story? Are y'all onto that?
I'm into good tasting food, and sometimes I have to hear a story, but I don't necessarily want to.
Sometimes a lot of story equals not that great tasting food.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. I'm with you. Like, I'm really interested in the flavor. You give me the story. Yeah. Well, I'm not really. Like the Portlandia. I don't need the chicken's name.
Yeah.
But if the chicken tastes better, I'm on board.
Yeah. Dale, you're a hipster. That mustache is telling me it wants a story.
That's beautiful.
No, man. I don't care. What I would seek out is locally, you know, local stuff. And I am of opinion generally that people who, like, take the time to source local ingredients generally make better food. But I've been to places that use like fresh local ingredients and farm raised stuff, and it's just terrible and bland. And it's like they think that just by putting those things together that people are going to love it, you know, and it makes it good. And sometimes it just sucks. So that the passion that drives you to do those shouldn't be a gimmick. You know, you shouldn't be like, oh, I'm just going to put these ingredients together and make a lot of money because that's what people like. The passion that makes it good is that you care about it being local and you want to make good food that is,
well, to use a businessy term for Brad, since Brad's a businessman now, like, their value proposition, those places, is that it is locally sourced. So, like, if you care about this, this is why you'll come here. And it's not necessarily that it'll taste good. However, I agree with you. I think that, you know, good tasting food should be 1A, you know, like, or 1B. 1A is, you know, like, this is healthful and it's good for the environment. And then 1B should be, and also it tastes good, you know?
Right.
So,
Well, I mean, and to Dell's point, not only does...
Don't talk to Dell's point. Just talk to Dell.
Is it not good when they prepare it, but it might just be crap that they're growing.
Yeah, it could be that too.
Yeah.
They might just not... they might have genetically modified something that just doesn't taste that good. And it's fantastic. It grows great and they sell it great. But their wheat just tastes like garbage, you know?
Well, I think some of the more annoying people would say, well, man, that's just because you've been, brainwashed and you've been trained to eat this corporate food, you know, these corporate big giant red tomatoes. Tomatoes are really small and, you know, lopsided. And you're getting these bright red ass tomatoes.
I was going to say that. I was going to use that same example, and that's true as hell. It's actually true as hell. I hate tomatoes, but until I worked on the farm and we grew heirloom, old, ugly looking tomatoes that all looked deformed and like they were tumors. And they tasted
weird
amazing.
Colors and stuff.
They tasted amazing.
Well, I will say to that, like, so heirloom tomatoes, there's like 6 or 7, like, original. Even those are kind of crossbreed because nobody really knows what a tomato looked like in 1742 anymore. Because tomatoes are really good at just kind of, you know,
adapting
and, you know, taking on these new strains and whatnot. So much like dogs, we just kind of have an idea of what it looks like. There you go.
No.
Tomatoes are the dogs of the world. Fucking tomatoes.
Wait.
Fucking chihuahuas.
Tomatoes are the dogs of the world.
Can you put that on a shirt, Brad?
I'd buy that shirt. Yeah, that's going to be good.
Yeah.
We have a shirt guy now. I like this.
I know. About time Brad contributes to the podcast.
Yeah, the neck hole.
He just started. He started like an enterprise on the side, going around bothering local breweries. You buy my shirt. You buy my shirt.
What? I sell beer here, sir. I care.
You buy my shirt and give me beer. So hey, wait. What am I talking about? So when's the last time you guys went to go see comedy?
This last weekend?
I think the only time I've gone to a comedy show is... Does improv count, like an improv group?
I think that counts.
It can count.
Unless we're...
Not for me, but
specifically asking for stand-up. Is that what you're asking, Adam?
Yeah, stand-up comedy.
I think Jim Brewer, like, in the early 2000s.
God. That was, like, in his nadir, right?
Yeah.
God. He's made two comebacks since then.
Yeah, I've seen him on one of those, by the way.
Okay. Brad?
It was before I got out here, so probably I don't know, 10 months ago.
Who'd you see?
Most recently?
Well, the 10 months ago, yeah.
He
doesn't remember.
No, I guess it's been about a year. I don't know. I think it was Chappelle was the most recent one.
Dave Chappelle. All right, cool.
That's sweet.
Yes, so Gene and I saw Anthony Jeselnik at the local comedy place. First time in San Antonio. It was good.
Yeah, it was a pretty good show. It's about pretty what I expected. Show. I was excited to go see him because I enjoy dark comedy, and I was just looking forward to hearing some terrible things. I'd say he delivered on that.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny. I think my problem with Anthony Jeselnik is my own problem. It's that, like, his style of jokes, which are funny. He does these one-liners, but I can see the outline of the joke coming, you know, like the punchline.
Right, yeah.
And then, like, so.
Yeah.
I'd kind of like some rapid fire, kind of more funny. Speaking of comedy, Dave Chappelle did his two specials, and they were good.
Netflix.
I think the one that Brad saw, and definitely the one that we saw, was the second, you know, special that he has on Netflix. Third one's coming. Let's step down. I just want to mention that. We saw him. He was funny. Recommend. He's on tour, is, I guess, kind of a thing to say if you're out looking for comedy.
Oh, Flight of the Conchords.
And
you saw them? Comedy.
When did you see them?
Last October. I vaguely remember that happening.
Where?
That counts. In New Orleans.
Man, I bet that was fun.
It was awesome. They're great.
I love when comedians like integrate music into that. So I just feel like it's.
I actually hate that. I hate musical comedy. Yes.
That doesn't surprise me.
It's like when I turn on like Comedy Central Presents and then there's a dude sitting down with a guitar, I immediately change channels.
It's different. It's different with like Adam Sandler style. Like Flight of the Conchords is their thing. It's almost like a rock show that just happens to be funny.
Yeah, I mean, and I like them. I like their show. I like their comedy. But I got to say, I was, like, hesitant. I was like, oh, this fucking...
Yeah.
I don't know. There's another guy that does that. He looks like Del. At least he has Del's haircut. And I think he directed the most recent comedy special by Jared Carmichael. I think that guy does it too. I can't. All right, two questions because I intended to start the show. I know I'm cutting off the comedy thing. I intended to start the show with these questions. So now that I have Gina here, Gina, are you here? Do I have you?
I don't know if you have me, but I am here.
So there was some controversy
yes.
around and about Wonder Woman. And whether or not the actress, I think her name is Gail Gadot, some shit, whether or not she should have armpit hair, you know, and then there's like feminists back. They're like, Wonder Woman would have fucking armpit hair. You know, it's only male standards of beauty that are out here making her not have armpit hair. And considering her backstory, you know, she's like she's Amazon, right? Amazon warrior and shit. Depending on your version, your flavor of Wonder Woman mythos. She would not have pit hair. She wouldn't shave her legs, you know? Gina.
She would squeeze her woolen body into her.
Yeah, she'd be like Xena Warrior Princess with armpit hair. How do you like your Wonder Woman?
But she would definitely still wear that costume, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, does she live in the modern world now?
Let's say yes.
Does she get her hair cut?
Her hair does look styled.
It looks a bit styled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it looks like she's wearing makeup.
She wears makeup. She's probably shaving her pits.
Yeah. I guess it's...
But should she, I guess? Should she?
Should she? If she's Wonder Woman, because she'd definitely wear that.
What about this? There she is. Thigh-high boots. I feel like when you go to battle, you need to have your thighs out. Guys?
Of course. Naturally.
I got to.
Yeah.
Have armor.
You there. Should have a halter top. Yeah.
The woman I see in this picture shaves her armpits.
Okay, so she doesn't have armpit hair, and everybody's talking about it. I'm showing you in the picture right now. So yeah.
I mean, it's up to her, right? True feminism?
Yeah.
That's not about conforming to standards. It's about she has the right to be whoever she
is. I did not have an opinion about this, and I saw other people did today. So let's go around the room. Nowhere. These less important opinions, us dudes.
Del.
I don't care. I think they're trying to sell a movie to a lot of people, and the way you do that is to make everything sparkly and beautiful.
Yeah.
And even the explosions, you know, the carnage, it needs to be beautiful too. And so why wouldn't... That's so dumb. It's just so stupid. They can go make their own Wonder Woman movie where she has hairy legs and arms. Well, watch it. It's fine.
Yeah, I guess before you go on there. No, they can't because, you know, the corporation's not going to let you do that. But yeah, they can make a super heroine. Yeah, I got it.
Right.
I don't care.
Yeah, I never cared about Wonder Woman enough to have an opinion. Walking around
looking like that and some sort of like, because this is like a real world, this is like a present day superhero, right?
Sure, yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
If somebody walked in wearing that, I don't think I would notice one way or another. If she had billowing armpit hair, I would be like, there's some chick in thigh-high boots, swimsuit at 9 p.m., fighting a dude who's shooting lightning. Yeah. I wouldn't notice. It wouldn't matter to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see your point there. So that's what they're saying. Well, like, you know, it's, I don't know. I see the value in living in the modern world, shaving your armpit hair, like now. Like, because you don't want to sweat through, like, your Oxford shirt. God, I'm awful. Or Brad's custom patented two head holes, three armhole design. You want to shave all three or four of your armpits. You know, so there you go. There is that. Okay, moving on. I wanted to mention update on the progress. I think I mentioned on the show that I had success, proof of concept success, importing and transferring all these old video cassettes, these handheld camcorder home movie type things, to digital video. And I successfully made my mother cry, like nostalgia tears. So 2 points for me. That's how I know it's going to work. I used like Kodi, which used to be XMBC, to kind of navigate this. My whole idea was to get these videos and have them sortable, so you can be like, show me everyone with Adam in it, and then it'll show you, or show me all the ones where Dad was the, you know, the director. He was recording. By the way, my dad is not the best director, film, cinematographer. Like all those give me a headache. He's like zooming in at strange things. Like what the.
Yeah.
My mom has a steady hand. I was like, wow, she's pretty amazing, I got to say. So that's the idea, right? Because, like, when's the last time, and I ask you, Del, since you're paying attention, when's the last time you put in an old VHSC or Hi-8 videotape and hit play?
Well, long time. My brother actually did, well, not to the degree that you've done it, but he transferred all our old home movies onto to digital and uploaded them to YouTube in the last year. So I watched some of those, but man, I hadn't watched video like that since the recording I'd made for my church Christmas concert in like 2006.
Yeah.
I borrowed somebody's to do that. And that was a tape. That was on tape. I think that was on tape.
When was the last time that you looked at a photo from the early 90s?
Recently?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason I ask is because, like, I think the easy conclusion on this is that, like, the reason we don't watch these videos is because we don't have the technology, you know, and it's not quite as accessible.
Yeah, you know what? Just kind of stealing that. So I have a VCR. I had to go dig into the storage closet because I'm like, I know we had a VCR that we're too lazy to throw away. We just got it. We're like, we're moving, throw it in a box. It's stuck in a box, right? It's like VCR, high school diploma, some other shit. You know what I mean? Like just stuff. I literally was that. So I got the VCR out and it still works, whatever. And I have a bin where I just put all the cords in, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where somebody had a great joke. They said, Radio Shack was that bin that you have with all the cords and wires, and you only checked it every 6 months because you needed a cord from there. Now that it's gone, you're like, who the fuck threw out the bin with all the cords? That was a great. I wish I could attribute that.
Yeah, that's true.
So anyway, I had the VCR here, and I hooked it up. My TV's so new, it doesn't have a VCR input, so I had to plug it up to the, like the antenna, like the digital video antenna, like the coax cable. I had to scan, like my VCR was the antenna, like scan for channels, and it found the one channel, channel 3.
Oh, wow.
And then that's how I had to play it on the TV. But yeah, so in case you're wondering, the VHSC, these are pretty easy to transfer. They have the tapes that have the converter thing. This guy right here, I'm showing it
to that. Yep.
And so that's pretty easy to play, pretty easy to get to. The Hi8 ones, these are a bitch because they're proprietary, and only Sony makes them, so only Sony has the player. And they cost still now $500 to get a Hi8. Yeah, so we're probably never going to look at that tape, or I'm going to have to send it in somewhere. The easier ones are the DV ones, the digital video ones, the little mini cassettes. Those are pretty cool.
Yeah, those are the ones I remember.
Yeah. So I got it all working. I imported a couple of videos, the nice affecting videos that I knew my mom would go for, my parents would care about, right? It's all four of us fucking throwing rocks or something. And I sound like super Mexican, I guess, because we live in the South Side. I'm like, yeah, mom, we're going to go. You know, it just, it's like, wow, turns out. Yeah, it's fine. I heard that from somebody else, too. Like, they looked at videos recently, and she was like, yeah, and I sound like really Texan. I was like, yeah, mom, you know, we're going to... it happens. You don't think you have an accent, but you do.
Right.
Yeah, I
do. So, good times. I recommend you do that, and it's really... There's somebody in the family that's going to do this, right? You find that person, they do it.
Not me.
Yeah. It's going to take time. It's going to take about 3 months for me to do it because you kind of get bored. You're like, there's a lot of footage to go through. And I still don't care about my brother singing into the camera. You know what I mean? Like, it's funny, but not that funny for me to watch 18 minutes of it.
Right.
But yeah, it's good times. It's fun. And I think the challenge is trying to find a way to present it so that way it's shareable still, so that way people can watch it because that's the whole point, right? So you can watch these videos.
I like that idea that you said Jeff had about putting it on YouTube too, so that it's not only like accessible to your immediate family, but if you have, you know, like if your dad's sister or cousin or something wants to see it, that, you know, they got that capability.
Yeah, it's private, so you have to share the link.
Yeah, I think I just don't trust Google with my shit.
Yeah,
any more of my shit. I think so one way you could do it is like put it on Plex. Have you guys used Plex?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can kind of have them locally and then kind of share them via Plex. And you can just log in and watch the movies that way. The other thing is that not a whole lot of people are going to really want to watch these ever. So I think what you can probably do is just have a home movie viewing party. And if they're searchable like Netflix style, which I'm hoping this will be, they'll be more likely to watch. Instead of let's pop in a random tape and watch 60 minutes of... bad cameramanship, you know, like it will have already been edited, already been sorted. So we're like, Christmas 99, that's the one where, you know, grandpa drank too much. That's a fun one. Let's watch that.
Yeah, that's what we need to do next is go back and split it up.
Yeah. Good times. So we're going to talk about Ciclovia. This thing here in San Antonio, they do biannually. That means twice a year. They close off parts of the street.
Like semi-annually.
Yeah, sure, man.
Well, yeah.
I don't fucking...
Could be, I don't know.
It's both.
Could be every other year.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah. so they close off part of the street, like a good 2-3 miles of streets. And they cleared off all traffic, and you could just bike or ride skateboards or roller skates or jog, walk your dogs. And it's kind of cool. Like, we've always kind of wanted to do it, but we're never really ready to do it. Like, oh, I gotta get a bike, I guess. We've had friends like this. They're like, yeah, that'd be fun. We need a bike. And they went to the store to buy a bike thinking it'd be like $50. But those things at a bike shop, no. Yeah, they were like, whoa. I was like, yeah, you wanted to go to Walmart for the $50 bikes, but you don't want to ride a $50 bike. Anyway, fast forward. So we did it. The hard part was hooking up the little wagon, kid wagon. Awesome. No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's not hard. it's the hardest part. We already had bikes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We had to hook that up. We got her in there. We biked. It was fun. It was hot as fuck, so we took a lot of stops. San Antonio still is not very bike friendly, meaning that people were almost ran us off the road a couple times, and that's even more harrowing when you have an infant in the back. You know, you already feel like, what the fuck am I doing with this infant? And here's a fucking giant vehicle, a couple tons right here, and here's my little tiny baby, who I pretty much can throw across the room. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I don't feel like she'll fare well here. So we had a bike to the location. Like, that was the thing. It was like 2 mile bike ride over there. Got there, started biking. It was fun. Good times. You guys bike? You guys do a lot of biking?
When I lived in Denton, I did. I biked everywhere. But Laurel is not so bike friendly.
Yeah. When I was in Virginia, I used to bike everywhere. We would bike sometimes to get groceries. We would bike to go to the park. We would bike to get a friend's house. I don't fucking bike anywhere now.
Me and my mom were joking because my mom's like, yeah, it was fun biking. My mom came with us, right? She was like, this is fun. Like, her bike chain fell off. Hers was a big ordeal. Her bike chain fell off. She took it to the bike shop and they were making fun of her. They're like, when did you buy this bike? When Michael Jackson was alive? And they high five each other. I was like, God. Like, don't shift any gears if you want to live, you know? And my mom's like, whatever. She's big into getting cheap things. So she got that from at a garage sale or something. She's like, give me this bike. I don't know. She enjoys doing that. And so I'm like, just buy this fucking bike. It'd be great if you just buy a bike that works and that you won't die on and the chain won't fall off and you won't, fall. And, you know what I mean? But she just, my mom cannot be reasoned with. And that's fine. I love it. So that was the whole thing. It was, she came down. She's like, it's fun riding bikes. Like, right here, it's like, and saying all the things that people have said for a long period of time about riding bikes or exercise.
Yeah, they're really fun.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we didn't get everybody on this bike thing.
I want to give a big shout out to one of my brothers, Eric, who recently let me borrow his bike because I had a your mom style bike that I got free from a friend, Bo. And it's a piece, I still have it just because it works, sort of, but a real bike, different experience, man.
It's very nice, yeah.
Amazing. So, big shout out to Eric on that one.
My mom got on my bike and she was like, wow, your bike has like power and it's like sturdy. I was like, yeah, that's why I got it, man. I don't feel like I'm going to just die. It's going to fall apart like cartoon style.
you're just along holding the handlebars and everything else goes out from under you.
Yeah, it just like turns to dust and ash in your hands. I don't know if they do this everywhere or it's like a San Antonio only thing, but maybe that's something y'all get started in your respective villages in this world.
I'm actually working, and Lauren, actually, my wife, is trying to work with the city council in our little hamlet to get a trail extender from like the big bike trail that connects like the entire geographic region. That goes all the way out to our little downtown area. So that would be really awesome if that came to fruition, which right now getting a lot of pushback from a lot of these rural folks.
Like what, they're against bike? Like it's like it doesn't pollute, Like, have you seen riffraff on bicycles like since 1958? You know what I mean?
That's what they're like, oh, it's the crime. And I was like,
on bike. Bicycle crime is pretty high.
Yeah.
They have a rickshaw?
Are people doing drive-bys on their Huffy? Is that what they're doing? That's what's going on?
It's just good for your kids. That's it.
Yeah.
And we've already got, approval for, funds from the state. So it's not even going to cost, the municipality any money. It's crazy. These people are so against it.
No, that's called, it's NIMBY. You know that, right? Not what? In my backyard. That's a great idea, except here in my backyard. It's great for some other town,
Yeah.
I'm not a super bike head, and I think a friend of the show, Colton, would say, he goes to these Franken bike things. It doesn't make sense. He goes there and they have a Frank bike meetup. So they go there and there's people like, I got a wheel here. You know, and you can buy a wheel, different parts of bikes. And see, that's what I'm saying. Like, Dell's nodding like, yeah, this I know, because Dell knows everything. But I was like, I don't understand. I got a wheel. I got two wheels. I got handlebars. I think I have everything I need on my bike. Like, why would I upgrade here? Like, it's not even an upgrade to me because, like, my shit works. It's functional. You know, why? Why? Right. And they're like, yeah, but you want to upgrade, like, your, you know, it's like for $1,500 bikes, I guess. And you're like, this part will be better. This part here. I don't know. I feel like I'm in a video game and I'm like, do you want to upgrade your sword? Like, yeah, I do need to upgrade. I don't need to upgrade my bike. It still works. Yeah. It gets me from here to there. Done.
Yeah. The only way that I'm going to upgrade is to just get a new bike.
Yeah. I just do it all at once. I don't want to do it piecemeal.
Entire section of parts that are already assembled.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
Yeah. Dell, you're not. So you've been one of those bike kind of guys?
No, I just know. It's just hobbyist mentality, you know, like building, less like somebody who would rather. I thought at first that you're talking about when you said Frankenbike, like the people who will like weld like a super tall seat to a bike, you know, and be riding, I think like, it is 10 feet off the ground.
It is those people also. And at this, at the Ciclovia, they did that too. You saw, they're like, my uncle calls them, he saw the dirties there. They're like with their hands up here.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. It was.
I knew a guy in Phoenix that was like into that. Like he's always like finding bike parts and like making bikes out of other bikes.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard a guy talking about a bike that he saw there. Because the cool part is that along this route, especially at this time, because it was super hot, it's like 90 degrees, they had like rest stops. So you can pull over. One was sponsored by HEB, and they were just giving out fucking water. It's a grocery store. Here's a bunch of water. Here's animal crackers. You know, they were just giving stuff away. Excuse me. They're giving stuff away, you know, refreshing people. At a couple other places, they had, like, food trucks, so you can just stop, kind of have a little picnic there, you know, get some lemonade, continue on, get a taco. I mean, as I say, the whole thing was cool. You know, I'm glad we finally got to go because I've been wanting to go for a long time. I've been wanting to do this. So, yeah.
It sounds like a fun experience.
Sponsored by the
YMCA. Really, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it is cool. Oh, so the guy was talking about, we were there drinking like some pineapple kind of aid thing. And this dude was like, yeah, I saw a bike that had a little bike attached to it in front of it that they put on there. So like the little kid was riding, but like not riding. And he, you know, the dad's like riding. I was like, that seems unsafe. You kind of do need the streets blocked off for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you ever wagon your kids, Brad, since you were biking in Virginia?
We've had all kinds of different, like, setups with wagons and, like, the seat that fits between you and the handlebars.
Yeah.
And then the seat that goes, like, behind your backside. And
do you prefer them in front of you or behind you?
I think it depends on the age of the kid. Sub 1, or I guess sub 18 months, I like them in front of me.
Yeah. Makes sense.
18 months and over, I don't really care. You sit back there in the back. You do whatever you want.
Just tie a rope.
I mean, that makes sense because they're like 40 pounds or something like that, and they can reach and touch stuff. You're like, what are you doing? They might hurt you. You don't need that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. I think Dell has to go.
Yeah.
So, bye, Dell. Like every week, peace. We just let one person leave earlier than everybody else. Dell gets early release. Bye, Dell.
Bye. Good night.
Gina's back.
Yay.
So you were there with me, if you do recall, and you were a biking. How did you enjoy it?
It was fun to get out in the sun and be active.
I can't hear.
Well, let's try that again.
Welcome, Gina.
Thank you.
You were with me. We were out biking. How did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was a good time. It was nice to get out in the sun. It was like almost 90 degrees yesterday, right?
Yeah, it was pretty warm. Ooh. High was 90.
Yeah, it was pretty warm.
Is that warm for you there in Arkansas?
I think that's warm anywhere. I mean, it's not crazy warm. It's
just the beginning for us. But yeah.
How high does it get there? 110?
Yeah, it gets pretty hot here.
Yeah, like low hundreds.
Yeah.
Usually.
So 90 degrees is like right on the edge of tolerable.
Right. It's like getting to just a bit hot.
Yeah, I mean, because like when we left, it was like 80. We you know, I mentioned all the bike stops. We stopped at like shaded at an abandoned picnic. We stopped there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, how was it?
It was breezy. Yeah.
How
nice.
Did you enjoy hauling your kid around?
It. You know what? I thought it was easy when I had only ridden my bike with the trailer, but we switched after a while, and I rode your mom's bike, and then I felt fast as lightning, and I was like,
yeah.
Oh, I was dragging like 50 pounds, and that actually made a difference. Yeah, it was like an intense thigh workout. Pretty great. What else? You know, I wore like capris, like long, like Nike, like jogging type capris.
Athleisure.
Yeah. And they were comfortable, but I was like, oh, I should have wore shorts, but I didn't want to because I didn't want to have like any kind of chafing situation.
Yeah.
And I was like, if only I had like kind of long-ish shorts. like bike shorts, I guess.
Yeah. Like bicycle shorts.
Yeah.
Don't have to wear bike shorts. This is the problem.
Right? Yeah. I guess those have a function.
I think, you know, that was like the story of the day there. It's like everybody realizing like, oh, biking is fun. And what did you say? You thought about?
Yeah, I was like, this is pretty cool because we started at home and we had to bike all the way over to the starting point of this event. And we got there. And we were riding, and I was like, you know, it feels kind of like the bikes at the gym, the stationary bike. Like, it has a similar feeling, the pedaling, but then, like, you go somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that's interesting. Cool. That's interesting.
We should take this idea to the masses. Yeah,
yes, people need to know about
this. It's kind of like that treadmill, but, like outside.
Exactly. Guys, it's just like the gym equipment, but you can, like, go places while you use it.
Yeah.
It's like portable gym equipment. It's weird.
Wave of the future. We should trademark that.
Like I wonder Brad if it'll catch on.
In his shirt.
I know, right? Take him to our... He needs to take us to his patent guy, and we'll get that going.
What was I going to say about that? I guess the other part, you know, I think earlier Brad was saying that he's like, yeah, who's a biker everywhere?
Is he a big biker?
Yeah, he used to be. There are places in the world where, like, this is, you know, this conversation is even more ridiculous because they bike all the time. They bike to work, they bike home, they bike to the grocery store, they do all this. It's not just leisure, it's a mode of transportation, a primary mode of transportation. And, I mean, I could see it. I don't know how you go grocery shopping. But I've seen people do it. They have, like, bags tied to their handlebars, but that seems a little dangerous.
I know. I have, like, 2 water bottles in my basket, and I felt like that was throwing me off balance.
I'm gonna die. But I guess the way to do it is, like, I saw one dude, instead of having a kid like we did, he had a cooler in his
trailer.
Ditch
your kid. Your stuff.
So, I mean, you know, you can probably put it like that. There's two ways to do it. Or, like, those delivery bikes that have, you know, instead of the pizza back there, you have shit.
But those little trailer things are pretty cool.
Handy.
It's kind of scary. Like, you're just trusting this little apparatus with your child's life.
Yeah.
Combined with your driving
like, especially
skills.
The way it snaps together. It's like, oh, that's it, huh?
Almost
that pops
too
off.
Easy.
Your kid's just scraping
the bottom
street.
Falls out. get to your destination with an empty trailer.
Yeah. But then again, like, if you look at, you know, a car, you know, this thing that travels 70, 80, 100 miles an hour. It's not, there's not a whole lot to it.
A hunk of metal.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you pierce through the fiberglass, which is very thin anyway, you're like at the road. I've been in people's cars where they've like, the floor is worn thin. You can see the street below.
We're riding around in like a large Coke can.
Yeah, I know.
And we put some lawn chairs in it.
Yeah. Like, all right, we'll go. Just get the, we're safe now.
And a balloon that will blow up in your face just in case.
Don't worry. It'll work. It'll be fine.
Save your life or break your nose. Whatever.
So I think we're about We're about done. Is there anything else you want to mention? Did we leave anything off the list here?
I don't think so.
I think we're all good.
Covered everything.
Did you? Now that everybody's gone, did you have any thoughts about Anthony Jeselnik that you wanted to get off your shoulders? Because what do people want to get things off their chest?
It weighs on your heart.
Is that what that's about?
Yeah.
Man, it's whack.
You have a heavy heart. You need to get it off your chest. Heavy heart.
We're about wrapping up. Brad, do you have anything to get off your chest, your heart, or your shoulders?
Oh, my God. I have all kinds of stuff to get off. No, I really don't. Choose one. I feel not terrible right now.
It's good.
Productive.
First time in a while, so.
Oh, that's good.
That's good, man. That's good.
I'm not going to piss around about it too much because I do have a tendency to do that.
Yeah.
We're all moving out of our winter depression.
The good news is if you become stressed, a little bit stressed, right? Well, I guess the good news for you is that people will be able to pay for their stuff, right? Like Affordable Care Act is still the law of the land. I like how they said that, like real disappointed, like, but everybody was like cheering.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I guess people are going to still have health care. Ugh.
The worst.
So Brad still has a job.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the state of Arkansas is a huge beneficiary of the Affordable Care Act. There are like 300,000 people in this state who wouldn't be picking up scripts if it weren't for that. So I think, yeah, I've still got a job because it didn't get passed.
Good times, guys. So we'll leave it at that. Enjoy your health care, everybody. Enjoy your children's. Get out there on your bike. Go bike around. Maybe go to the grocer.
Apparently it's exercise.
Oh, gotta go to the grocer.
Go to the grocer.
Get those good tomatoes.
Yeah. What is grocer? Like, what does that mean? Where does that come from? What's the etymology there?
One who amasses things, I'm going to guess.
Ooh, let's look it up. Let's check look it out.
I'm curious.
Like, one who grosses.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's
right.
It does. It comes from grossus, Latin, late Latin. Medieval Latin, grossarius, old French, grossier, a person who sold things in the gross. Oh, look at Gina. She's smart. A person, Middle English, a person who sold things in the gross, i.e. large quantities. There you go. God.
I'm too good. Anything else you need me to
dealer
solve?
Dealer in quantity.
Man. Are you feeling like Dell now? You
I
know
feel.
Everything.
I know.
Dell left, and we, you know, a new person.
Someone
risen.
Had to fill that void, and
you filled
I
it.
Stepped right in.
We had to fill it up.
I just know everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Deranged Penguin Podcast. Hope you learned something. You at the very least learned what grocer comes from.
You're welcome.
Dang it.
Right.
It's so obvious now. Now when I say it,
oh,
it, is.
Oh, like, it was oh. always obvious, guys. Always obvious to me.
God, I don't know. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Deranged Penguin Podcast. We do this every other week now. We're creeping up on episode 200.
It's coming.
It's going to be a good time. Somebody was like, you've been doing
do
this every
have
week
that surprise
for like
coming
how long?
For people
I was like, yeah.
For 200?
You can subscribe. Please do so. You can tweet at us. You can email us. All the other stuff. And if I'm not going to tell you right now. You can figure it out. Listen
figure
to some
it
of the
out
other
and then do it.
You know how to do it. Let us know what you think about the show, improvements, recommendations, feedback. If you have a funny bike story, if you have a terrible bike story, let us know.
I'm on the wall.
Yeah.
Jon Snow.
Oh, God, no. All right, all right. Gina's going to start rapping again, and we have to shut it down before that happens. All right, we are done.